following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I want you to open your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 8. And I will leave time for prayer tonight. And every Wednesday night, we're going to continue this as well, obviously. Psalm 8, if you'd stand with me, I want to ask you to read it out loud with me, if you would. Simple patterns for prayer. This is part one. There's going to be three of these, and there might be a fourth. And I won't take it beyond that, but there might be a fourth. Very likely there might be a fourth. But in Psalm 8, here's David. And this is just, to me, one of the most joyful and just God-focused psalms, and where he says this. From beginning to end, I just see it as just one of those. It's not like, oh, I'm going to turn and talk to you and you. It's just really all directed to God. And he says, O Lord, would you read it with me? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. One more time, that first verse, last verse. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Lord, we agree with David. You're perfect, Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name, how perfect is your name, and all that's in your name, Lord, all that that implies, how excellent, Lord, is your name in all the earth, and you have filled the earth with your glory. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the senses to see it and to hear it, and to smell it, Lord, and to touch it. You're so excellent in all that you do, Lord, and we give you praise tonight. We do want to thank someone. We want to thank you, Lord. Hear our praise. Receive our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a seat. Some of you did not get to answer the three questions in my prayer survey this last weekend. And some of you mentioned it to me that I was a little too quick and I shut it down too fast, but that's probably all we would have been doing that weekend if I hadn't, which wouldn't have been all that bad, but I want to give you another chance to do that tonight, all right? So the three questions, I'll give them to you one by one. Number one was this: what have you personally done to make prayer an integral part of your life? What changes have you begun to make so that prayer just shows up more on in the schedule of your day? Now, again, whether it's scheduled or you just set yourself to respond more consistently to the Lord, what have you done? Anybody? Tell me what you've done to make prayer. Yes. Excellent. You make sure to pray before your feet touch the floor. And sometimes in the morning, that has to be quick, right? Because you got to get up and get on into the day. But that's so important. I remember several years ago, and I haven't been 100% faithful on this, I wanted the first words that I read that day to be from the Bible that sat by my bed. First words that I wanted to hear, I wanted them to be God's words. And the first words I wanted to speak that day were the words I wanted to say to him. And then I go to the end of the day and make sure the last words I said after I told my wife I loved her and kissed her goodnight, I wanted to let my last words of the day be directed to my excellent Father in heaven, and the last words that I read to be his again. And so it's a great pattern, and it seems to go better when I do that. And I'm trying to move toward 100% on that. What else? What else have you done to make prayer just a solid part of your day? Yes. Pray immediately when it comes to your mind, because it's the Holy Spirit that's bringing it to your attention. How many of you know that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit moves in? And he is not silent. He's got something to say. So I love that. I love it, responding to him when he nudges you. Anybody else? What else are you doing to make sure the prayer? Dave? Yeah. Spending more time in worship and praising God, and that moves into all those other kinds of prayer that Paul talked about. Yep. Rich. Every time he walks, he's praying. And Rich told me about this a while ago, that he prays through the people, through the houses up and down his street and on the way from his house to here. People that don't even know it are getting prayed for. They're getting prayed for. Well done, Rich. Anybody else? Yes, way back there, kind of loud. Right on. So every time you drive through the desert, did you say, okay. And the beach too, would you? Please include us when you go. That's great though. Oh, that's great. Something that reminds you, or we'll forget. So Susan said she sets an alarm on her phone to remind her prayer time. Do you have words that pop up and say prayer time? Is it like set on your calendar, or you just know when that goes off, it's time to pray? Oh, great. So you schedule them on your calendar. Oh, wow, that's awesome. That's great. Yes, you ask God to prompt you to pray. So you pray to God to prompt you to pray. That's a great prayer. Great prayer. He loves to hear that kind of prayer. Yeah, anybody else? Billy, Dan.
Pray for the impossible.
Pray for the impossible. There's plenty of that right now, isn't there? Yeah. Anybody else? A couple more, yep. So you're on a women's prayer chain. Great. So when they come up on text or email, or good, right on. That is a much better use of digital media, social media, than chasing little characters all over the world. Let's move to the second question. See, I know there's more of you that want to talk about this too, but the second question is, how has it changed you? We know that you're praying, you're scheduling it, but how is it changing you? What do you see happening in you that's different now that you're maybe praying more and just more consistently? Yeah, right on. You're probably more looking for it, aren't you? You know, he's got something to say, and so you're more in tune with his prayer, his plan. Yeah, good. Somebody else? Yeah, right here. Bill. Prayer will do that to you, won't it? Less self-centered, more God-centered and others-centered. Yeah, yeah. Much more trust. Put it in the strong hands. You can rest. That's awesome, Mike. Yep.
And that's what we need.
A greater sense of his presence. Right there with you. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
In him. That's it. Yeah. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Talk it over with him. There is just something absolute. You prove that passage. It says there's something about drawing near to God, and that something is he draws near to you. And it's like this back and forth. You're drawing near because he called you near. He put it in your heart, and as you move, he moves. There's just something powerful about the nearness of God. Yep. More forgiveness. You become a more forgiving person for your brother, too? Yeah? He must like that. That's awesome. It changes our hearts, doesn't it? You know why? I forgot your first name.
Lance.
You know why that is, Lance? Because you become like the people you hang out with. And when you hang out with somebody like Jesus, you become more like him. And he's forgiving, you become more forgiving. So, right on. Man, I feel like I could say amen right now and say, let's go get gelato somewhere. That was a message to my heart. Somebody wants gelato. Anyway, a couple more. What's it doing to you? Yeah, Dave. Yeah, gratitude rises, more of a thankful heart. One more, way back there. Anxiety lifts. The worry goes.
How about now?
Yeah, like when somebody says, you know, let's go eat. How about now? You know, let's pray. How about now? Right on. Okay, one last one, and the last question was, what answers to prayer have you seen? What can you say? No, this has happened since I started praying about it. And this, you know, this might be recent. We're talking about a lot of change that's happening in our hearts right around now. You know, over these last 3 to 4 months. At least I hope that is. But what have you seen God do? Now, we've talked about the changes in us. What about those requests beyond us that we've seen God work in? Yeah, Tony. All right. Praise God. A baby, someone who, those of you that didn't hear it, and just for the sake of the recording too, someone that couldn't get pregnant, and Tony prayed, and God blessed them with a child. I remember when Joy and I went to Australia one time. I think it might have been the first time, and there was that exact case, and I can't remember how long they'd been married, but Joy just felt a burden to pray for her, and probably it was about 2 or 3 years later we were there, she came running up with the proof. There was the little one. Yeah. Couple more. Answers to prayer. Yep. Mm-hmm. And he did? Oh, praise God. Recovery for Grandpa from surgery. Yes, over there, Joel. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Prayed for a son's mother-in-law to get saved on the deathbed. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Praying for sons when, how many of you have been at that place where, well, they don't want to hear from me anymore, so Lord, I'm going to say, go get them. And starting to ask some questions. Thank God. Don't stop praying. And I want to encourage you to grab a journal and start keeping track of those answered prayers, okay? And we'll try to give some time, maybe every week or so, for more of more input on what God's doing, because what you all just shared encouraged the people who were listening to keep on praying. I want to show you a couple of brief quotes. This is from Charles Spurgeon. A true prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great length. I love that. It's the connection, the passion, the empathy, the compassion in your heart as you just don't worry about the words. Just convey your heart to God. And if you run out of words, groan. Or if you have the gift of speaking in tongues, and pray that through. This is another E.M. Bounds quote. Prayer is not learned in the classroom, but in the closet. We're going to be tonight in a great big closet with all these people in it. But really, I do believe, and I really agree with what he said. I shared this last week, where E.M. Bounds also said, prayer is the best dictionary to define the art and nature of praying, and praying is the best school in which to learn to pray. And so that's where we are in these 3 weeks right now. And you know in Scripture, as you look at the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus prayed, and Jesus prayed a lot. Now, we're not going to look at all these prayers. We're not going to jump to them, in other words, but I want to catalog them for you. There's 15 prayers that are specifically mentioned by, you know, point by point throughout the Gospels of Jesus praying. Now, the first 6 of them, they're unrecorded. We don't know what he said, but it says that he prayed at his own baptism. He prayed. I'd love to know what he said. Maybe we'll get to check out that DVD when we get to heaven. Early in the morning, it says, he went out long before the day started, and he prayed at the very beginning of his ministry before a busy day. When the multitudes crowded around him, and it says he often went out. He wasn't running away from people, but he knew that he had to get filled up before he could pour out. And so he would go away by himself, away from the crowd very often, and pray. At his transfiguration, I wish I knew what they said there. When they're up on the mountain and Jesus just turns glowing white, it says whiter than any laundry man could make the clothes. It was just a light around him. And the Scripture says he prayed. We don't know what he said. And then when he's back on the mountain again, it says he prayed. Now, and then Peter, it says he prayed for Peter. And I love this scene where he's telling Peter, the devil wants you. He wants to sift you like wheat. I don't have time to go into a lot of the details, but a sieve was made in those days out of this kind of material. Could be metal, could be any kind of material, but many times, oh, it's a gift card. Don't lose that. But many times it was a piece of leather that was punched full of holes. That's what the verb, and there's a verb and a noun behind that word in the Greek for sift. He wants to sift you like wheat. And when it's used of the verb, it's the process of making a sieve. You poke it full of holes so that it'll drain whatever's in it. And that's exactly what Jesus said. The devil wants to punch you full of holes, Peter. And so I prayed for you. Can't you imagine that? What is really, really comforting for Peter to hear, that although he was coming to riddle him full of holes, that Jesus was praying for him, and he knew he would come back. And then there's 9 prayers that are recorded. One of them is over the success of the disciples' ministry. Look those up later if you want to. Come back. I'm going to go through these so quick you might not even have time to jot down the reference. But when they came back from their successful ministry, Jesus lifts up his eyes to heaven, and it's a quick little prayer. See the 2 verses. And he just gives thanks to the Father for the impact of their ministry. At Lazarus' resurrection, another very quick prayer. Jesus lifts his eyes to heaven. He says, Father, I know you always hear me, but I'm saying this for the sake of those that, I'm paraphrasing, but for the sake of those that are here. And then on Palm Sunday, as they're approaching the cross, it was, again, another one of those, oh my goodness, this is going to be the darkest thing I've ever walked through. And he prays through that a week before, or not a week before, but about 5 days before, 4 or 5 days before his death. Then in the upper room, that's the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. It's a beautiful prayer. And remember when I read that to you on a weekend, it took how long? 3 minutes. That's a long prayer. I've got 3 minutes I can spend with Jesus. In Gethsemane, again and again, what did he pray? Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. 3 times. Isn't that vain repetition? Oh, no, no. Not if you were in Jesus' sandals that night. That wasn't vain repetition. It just gripped his soul, and 3 times he said, Father, if there's any other way, let's go that way. And then from the cross, there's 4 things Jesus said in prayer, I believe. The fourth one, the jury is kind of out on whether or not this was prayer or just a statement. But we know it's prayer when he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And then in Matthew 27, where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yes, he's quoting scripture, but he's feeling it at that time. Is never more appropriate than when those words were on Jesus' lips. And then in Luke 23, right near the end, and some would put these last two in reverse order. Doesn't really matter what order they were in. But Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then his last recorded prayer before his death for us was, it is finished. I kind of think that that's what Jesus said to the Father. He was like saying, job's done. It shows up in John chapter 17 when he's praying that night after they had their communion service at the end of the Passover meal. He said, Father, I've finished the work that you've given me to do. And he was looking down the road just a day ahead and knew that it would be done. And I really believe that that was the last prayer directed to the Father. Job's done, Father. It's paid in full. It is finished. So there's a lot of prayers of Jesus, but that's Jesus praying. He's not talking about it. He's doing it. Now, we've been talking about prayer a lot over the last 3 months, and I just really think it's probably beyond high time that we just really get down to, when we're together, especially on these midweek nights, that we just get down to some praying together. And Jesus, when you hear him pray, I just think it's so important to remember that in all of these recorded prayers of Jesus, the 9 that are recorded, they're about this long. So when we break into little groups of prayer, no more than 4. Everybody say no more than 4. Put up every finger on one hand except the thumb. That's 4, okay? Not 12, but 4. So when we break into those groups for prayer, don't go on for 3 minutes. And let somebody else pray, but just state, I'm not saying be overly, unnecessarily brief, state the need or state the praise or lift the worship, but don't turn it into a sermon. But I think it's very interesting and instructional that Jesus, when he prayed, the recorded ones, they're brief prayers. And so this is Jesus praying. All of them but one, like I said, is very, very brief, but apparently Jesus often prayed for extended periods, right? When he was alone. He'd go off by himself, and he wasn't in a prayer circle. It was just him, and I'm sure that conversation was back and forth. It was give and receive. Give and receive as he received whatever God the Father had to say to him. But Jesus would go on all night long sometimes in extended periods in the morning, but when his friends asked him, teach us to pray, it's a beautiful thing he gave them was a template for prayer. A pattern for prayer, or a model, not a mantra. It was a pattern that he gave him. There are several, I think, really helpful models for prayer in the Bible. And like I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at those and employ them. We're not just going to study them. We're going to lay them out like a template, and we're going to use them to pray through different movements. Now, the disciples' prayer We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke chapter 11. There's six movements to that prayer, and we'll talk about that maybe next week or the week after. But in Luke, in the Luke passage, Luke 11, Jesus said, when you pray, say. And so that's why we do pray it just as it is, our Father who art in heaven. It's a beautiful prayer. Again, very, very brief. But in Matthew's version, he says, pray like this. He says, pray in this manner, after this model. Use this as a template. And so we're going to talk about that in detail when we get there. The other one that I think is going to be really interesting and I think extremely helpful is the tabernacle pattern. Any of you ever heard of John Corson? John is just such a great brother and has impacted so many lives. And one of the, I think, most powerful things he did, simplest things he did, was what he calls praying through the tabernacle. And we'll talk about that probably next week, I think. And then we'll move the disciples' prayer to the week after that. But there's seven distinct movements in this. Now, when we were up there in Applegate, I really tried to strong arm John to come down and teach this for us. I said, I promise, because he's kind of not traveling anymore. He's really staying very close to home. He's not teaching all over the world like he was. He's pastoring that church. I said, John, if you come down, I promise I won't tell anybody else that you're back on the circuit. I won't even tell our church that you're coming. And he said, no, what I think you should do is you should take the book that I wrote on it. Is this my kind of book or what? Little book? Said, why don't you take the book and just, you know, read it and put your own tweak on it that'll be better than anything I could do, ha, 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 and then teach it yourself. And so he told me he wouldn't do it. And I said, well, what else won't you do for God, John? No, I didn't say that to him, but invited he and Tammy to come down, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen. So we're going to do that. I did make him sign it for me, But anyway, we're going to look at, and it's a beautiful, simple, very workable pattern on moving through a time together, especially as a congregation or when you're alone. I think you're going to love it. And by the way, speaking about simple patterns, I noticed this in Psalm 100. It's kind of a gathering psalm, and it's another one of those that is, it's so simple, so beautiful. Flip over to it, if you would, real quick. We're going to read it. I'm not going to tear into it. But I just want you to see this. I kind of got excited when I was looking through the different songs of worship. It's almost like a pattern for when we gather. It starts like this. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We do that, don't we? That's like the first thing we do. And come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord, he's God. It's he who made us and not we ourselves. You acknowledge his presence as your maker there. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Read 4 and 5 with me here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. I'm excited about laying that out again as another personal approach to your personal devotional time with Jesus, where you come before him with joyful shouting and singing, acknowledging his lordship and seeking his mercy. And then I love the way reflecting on his word, your truth. So anyway, we'll get to that one. But tonight, I want you to consider, you don't even have to turn to it, but I want you to consider what I would call a three-movement approach to your personal devotions. And there'll be times here on Wednesday evenings and maybe other prayer times where we'll employ this in our out loud praying time together. And it's the 1 Thessalonians pattern in prayer, where it says, rejoice evermore, never stop rejoicing. Pray without ceasing means never stop praying, and give thanks in everything. So, and there's a distinction between the rejoicing and the praying and the giving of thanks. And that's what I want to just lay out for you very quickly before we spend the rest of our time tonight in small groups for prayer. And I just want you to look up here on the screen and let me explain to you the difference between rejoice and prayer as we're going to consider it, and then giving of thanks. Rejoicing is this. It's giving specific, joyful, genuine praise to God just for who he is. We're going to start that way. And in just a few minutes, we're going to give a few minutes to just that in small groups, where we're not asking God to do anything. We're just acknowledging who he is. We're acknowledging that he is holy and that he is love. Bible says God is love, that he is powerful, maybe that he's present, that he's our refuge, that he's our, what else would you throw in there? Just acknowledging, what is it? He's our strength, he's our power. And all of that's going to come up in that rejoicing segment of our time, just looking to God, rejoicing in his character. Again, it's not what he's done, it's just thanking him for who he is. Before you put any request on the table. Now, you're not buttering him up. It's not like coming in, you know, to, Dad, you're just the best dad in the whole wide world. I've seen them all, and none of them compare to you, Dad. You're better than Michael Landon as Paul on Little House on the Prairie. You're just the best dad in the world. Oh, and by the way, Dad, it's not buttering him up. But then the next movement is what we're going to call prayer, and that's specific petitions and requests and intercession. It's for people and for problems. It's for needs. It's for the news. My goodness, do we have enough in the news to pray about? It's praying for your family and your church family. It's the part of this prayer time tonight that's going to be warfare. It might include confession, where you ask God to forgive you. You acknowledge your sin and say, God, lift that from me and forgive me. It's where you pray for the sick and the broken and the disturbed and the tormented and the lost. Some of you have recently, I really feel this is just really from God. Some of you have been so burdened for the homeless that you see and the on-ramps and at the intersections. God hasn't put that on you by accident. I think that's more than just your human compassion. And the most important thing you can do is pray for those that are in great need. Just pray. So that part of our time is lifting up those specific petitions, and I'll remind you of it again when we get to that point. But that's the song we sang. I love this. Thank you, Zach, for leading us in this. You're coming to the God of angel armies. You're coming to the strong God that you've just identified him. All that he is, he's loving, he's good, he's passionate, he's powerful. And you're saying, okay, would you bring that love and that passion and that power on this? That's when you give the specific, Lord, we need your help right here. The third movement in this is giving thanks. And that's details of gratitude. And that's for what God has already done. So you might be reaching back to some of those prayers you mentioned that God has answered, and the peace he's put in you, the heart to forgive that Lance talked about. It's where you thank God for what he's done, and you thank him for listening to your little talk with him. Thank you. David did that. He said, Lord, I love you because you hear me, because you turn your ear my way. And then this last thing I've got down, we could put many more things under here, but you're thanking him for what he's going to do. Lord, I put this in your hands, and I'm just thanking you for what you're going to do. And you might even want to say, God, thank you for filling my heart with some peace as well. You know, just, and it's really that point, like the song that we saw right before the video. God, I just want to thank you for this. I want to give you thanks for what you have done. I've praised you for who you are. I've asked for your help on these things. And now I just want to thank you. I want to fill the air with gratitude. So I'm going to take the remainder of our time. Can you believe this? 15 minutes we have to spend in prayer. In groups of how big? Four. No more than four. Two is fine, but one is not. You got to get with somebody else. But two or three or four, and I will move you from one segment of this to the next with a very, very brief little song. And then I'll tell you, okay, now let's move into our prayer and petition and lifting up the needs and the news and all of that. And then another little song, and then we'll move into the last part, which is gratitude. So go ahead and get in some triangles or squares of prayer, and because you can't make a circle out of four. But go ahead and just begin to rejoice, okay? You got it now? If you forget about it, it's up here on the screen. Rejoice. Just specific praise and worship, genuine praise for who God is. Go ahead. Let's do that. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Let's move into that time of intercession. It's a section where you're just going to specifically ask God for those, lift those requests for people and problems and maybe your own confession and of your need, and pray through the news and the world events and missionaries maybe around the world and the team that's over in Vietnam and the ministry that's just concluded in Romania. But pray through those, the needs, and don't be general, be specific. Give God something to answer. Maybe the sick that are around us. Let's go ahead for about 4 or 5 minutes and pray over the needs, all right? Here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Let's move into the closing time of gratitude. And boy, did you find you wanted to jump into that early in the first part too? I couldn't get out. Well, I want to thank you. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that right now. But that, you know, do it. Do it anyway. But let's give the rest of our time here to just gratitude, giving thanks for what God's done, what he's going to do, the fact that he hears us when we pray, and then I'll come back and close us in prayer, okay? Let's go ahead. Let's give some thanks for what he's done. That should get you going. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I can see it now. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Let's all stand together and lift up holy hands. The Bible says, I want the people to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And Father, we just thank you for hearing us tonight. Lord, to hear these voices lifted in praise, in worship, in petition, in care and concern, and then gratitude, Lord, it's overwhelming. Father, I thank you that you've called us to come closer to you, and we can sense your closeness. So, Father, I pray your blessing over your sons and your daughters tonight, Lord. And would you take us deeper, Father God? Would you use us to with our words and our deeds to bring healing and hope to the broken and to the hopeless, Lord? Would you use us, Lord, to bring life and light to the lost and draw them to you, Jesus? Would you give us boldness, Father, to not be afraid to speak up in times like this? And so, God, we lay our lives before you. We thank you for the assembly of your people. We thank you for the family you've made us to be. Thank you, God, for lifting our shame. Thank you for lifting our sin and the darkness, Lord, that made it really made us unworthy, but you loved us when we were like that. And God, I pray tonight for those in here that know they need to have the peace that you offer, and they don't have it yet. But Lord, might this be the night, tonight, Lord, even right now. Why not now, Lord? Would you let this be the night where they just say, Jesus, forgive me and take what's left of my life and make me yours, God. So hear their prayer, God, as they lift that up to you. And Lord, teach us, train us. Train us for battle, Lord. Train us for the work you've called us to in Jesus' name. And all those people said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. And can I just encourage you, you know, you heard testimonies here tonight. You didn't get a chance to share your story, your prayer story. Well, somebody needs to hear it, and they won't all be here. We couldn't get them all in here, the people that need to hear it. So be bold with your stories out there, too, with your friends and your neighbors and such. And so Lord bless you and keep you and empower you and focus you and do great things for God. God bless you. Keep praying. Keep praying.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.